Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website and podcast. Boy, oh boy, first week of May already, I would argue, more interesting than pretty much the whole month of April. This week we had some key central bank meetings like the ECB and the Fed, although not a whole lot changed from expectations in those meetings. We also had the jobs data at the end of the week, a lot to talk about, and some market volatility, but I guess in all fairness, again, the market's not really going anywhere other than sideways. We'll talk about it all and recap really big picture here in the first half of this weekend show, and in the second half, we'll dive more distinctly into some individual sectors with trading strategies from one of our fund manager guests. We are kicking off this weekend show with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Financial Group and editor of the Book Report website. Now, Peter, earlier this week, I posted an excerpt from one of your reports from the Book Report that really addressed this whole concept of everyone calling for a recession in the second half of this year and the outlook, at least the market outlook, of how many rate cuts the Fed could do by that January meeting. The market is now pricing in up to 4 cuts by that January meeting. Now, Peter, you made the argument in that article that I posted that, look, everyone can be right about a recession coming, but that doesn't mean that the outcome of what the Fed does or what the markets do is that cut in stone. Can you take us through your outlook here on this whole recession coming, but not all recessions are the same?
Right. Thanks for having me. So as night follows day, a recession follows an expansion. And they typically happen when the Fed is raising interest rates. So to say that I think there's going to be a recession when the Fed is raising interest rates, especially as aggressively as they have been, it's not a profound thing to say that we're going to have one. I think under the hood, it's what type of recession are we going to have? That's the real question. Are we going to have one that's deep or one that's shallow? Are we going to have one that's short or are we going to have one that's drawn out? To me, those are the real questions. To think that the Fed can raise 500 basis points in a year on a debt-dependent, credit-dependent economy, and we're not going to have a recession, to me, just makes zero sense. To me, it's just a matter of what type of recession we're going to have.
Well, Peter, along that line of thinking, you know, we haven't really seen this kind of an experiment before in monetary policy, where we went from the record lowest rates in history to a very aggressive rate increase cycle that's taken it from basically 0 to 5.25% in such a short amount of time. And most of these rate hikes haven't really had time to percolate through the economic system yet. So even if the Fed doesn't immediately rush into rate cuts like the Fed funds futures markets are expecting, what do you think the effect of these higher rates are going to be on things like the real estate and commercial real estate markets or the auto industry? You know, what could these higher rates mean for just business loans rolling over?
Every single month, every single quarter that goes by now, somebody's loan is repricing at a much higher rate, and I emphasize much higher rate than the loan that is coming due. And that's why this plays out over time. If I'm a household and I took out an adjustable rate mortgage in October 2013, and it was a 10-year ARM, well, in October of this year, it's going to reset at a much higher interest rate. But at least right now, I'm not affected yet. I have 5 months left. Maybe I probably built up some equity. So while I'm not feeling it yet, I'm going to feel it soon. If you're a whole, you're owner of a multifamily commercial real estate building that's 98% occupied, wow, you know, looks like it's doing great. But if you have a 3.5% loan that's coming due this year and it has to reprice at 8, well, chances are you're either going to have to raise more equity and pay down the debt and work out something with your bank, or the bank's going to foreclose on you if you don't have the cash flows to fund that much higher interest expense. So, like I said, this plays out over time. It's not an event. Fed raises, we go into recession. It's a process that takes time because not everyone is affected by the rate change all at once. But eventually, everyone does become impacted if rates stay higher for longer.
So since we're talking about rate changes then and who gets impacted, let's also tie in the banking issues in the U.S. because, well, we saw more news of the banking issues this week with J.P. Morgan taking over a failing bank and then another bank, reporting failures. What does this mean, playing into this whole recession call and playing into Fed policy in your eyes?
So in totality, at least in the U.S., bank lending makes up about 20% of all lending, with non-bank lending, capital market sort of balancing it out. So on the surface, looks, okay, well, it's not that much, whereas Europe, 80% of the lending comes from the banks. But of the 20%, small, medium-sized banks make up almost 40% of all lending, and most borrowing for small, medium-sized businesses come from banks. You know, if you're going to open up two restaurants, Goldman Sachs is not going to take your call to do a junk bond deal for you. You have to go to the local bank, put a personal guarantee on a loan that you're going to get. So I'm most worried about the impact on small, medium-sized businesses because of that outsized market share that the banks have and that kind of lending for smaller businesses. You look at commercial real estate, small, medium-sized businesses have a 67% market share when it comes to lending in that space in the banking system. So, but it also has ripple effects throughout because what's affecting the banks also affects others. So when was the last time, you know, we're barely having any IPOs. You know, we had a successful one yesterday. It was Kenvue, but that's from Johnson & Johnson and they sell Tylenol. Well, you know, that's a much easier IPO than generally speaking. VC funding has gotten much more difficult to get through in terms of investment committees. And just the cost of capital, generally speaking, across the board is more difficult. Now, private equity, you know, they'll be a source, but, you know, they'll charge you an arm and a leg to get equity or debt capital from them. So in the aggregate, it's a credit crunch that we're in the midst of. You know, that's going to have a lot of ripple effects that, like I said earlier, will take place over the coming months, quarters, and throughout this year and probably into next year if the Fed keeps rates high for a while.
Peter, I think it's an interesting point you just made about the lack of IPOs. There really haven't been hardly any. And if you think back to 2020 and 2021 coming out of the pandemic, it seemed like there was a couple dozen IPOs every week. Now, the question I have is some of those companies also, you know, took out debt and loans and different things to be able to fund their ventures that have no signs of showing any revenue. Are we probably going to see a wave of some of these IPOs from the past that are non-revenue generating companies go the way of the dodo bird as this cycle plays through?
Well, the scenario you just laid out was one of the reasons why Silicon Valley Bank went down, because they had a lot of VC companies that were burning cash, that were hoping to tap the IPO market to liquefy themselves, pay down debt, pay back investors, but weren't able to because the capital markets closed on them, and then they started drawing down on their bank deposits and so on. Yeah, so there's no doubt that investors are focused on profits, and they're going to be much more discriminating on who gets money. Whether it's an equity investment or it's a loan, you know, you can be sure that's going to have a ripple effect throughout the economy. And we're seeing this type of commentary in many different places.
Well, guys, we're out of time for this first segment on the radio. But everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Peter Buchvar. Peter, let's shift our focus to earnings as earnings season that we're broadly through right now. At least big boys reported. A lot of big tech reported last week. Apple reported this week. Overall, we saw a lot of earnings beats, but those were on vastly lower expectations, and when you compare it to the prior quarter or the quarter from last year, well, we are seeing revenue decrease and we are seeing earnings decline, but again, it did beat the street's consensus. What did you pull away from this earnings season, Peter?
Well, let me start by saying that every earnings season, companies beat about 70 to 75% of the time, the estimates. Just the game that's played where estimates come down going into the quarter, and then you beat those lowered estimates. I think big picture, earnings are going to be down year over year for a second quarter in a row. Profit margins continue to degrade, and that's what's most important. Because as earnings slip, cash flow is slow, that means less capital spending. It's going to mean less hiring, and there's, you know, the flow through there. So that's what I am taking away. But putting that aside, to me, the first quarter was a two-part quarter. To me, it was everything from January 1st to March 8th, and then from March 9th through the end of the month, because March 8th, 9th was when Silicon Valley Bank went down. So to think that the economy would stay on the same trajectory post-SVB, I think is going to be proven to be a mistake. So from what I've seen and what I'm hearing from individual companies that we hear from and go through a lot of earnings calls and transcripts is that for many, business slowed in April, and that was, again, reflected probably in the back half of March in people taking a step back and seeing how it played out with SVB. And I've seen that commentary in whether it was consumer spending, Cloudflare, a tech company, talked about big change in behavior that reminded the CEO of March of 2020. That was pretty profound comment. So to me, the second quarter is going to be really sort of a new environment where the economy continues to adjust for better or for worse, and obviously for worse when it comes to the banking system, to this much higher cost of capital in a very quick shock therapy type way.
Another takeaway from Q1's earnings season that I saw was that, yes, there was some of the big mega cap companies that reported pretty good results, and they've been the one carrying the indexes. When you look at the S&P 500, when you look at the NASDAQ 100, there's the big companies that are carrying the day, but when you look across the market breadth, a lot of the companies actually didn't do that great. And when you look at the micro cap stocks, like the Russell 2000, it's making 52-week lows. So what do you make of the divergence between some of the big mega cap stocks that are carrying the indexes and the rest of the market that's not doing quite as well?
Well, that's a very important distinction to talk about, sort of the bifurcated market that we're in. And even these big cap companies, which are great and dominant, but the growth rates are slowing across the board. I mean, you take Apple. Apple's revenues fell 3% year over year. Their operating income fell 5% year over year. I mean, these aren't really robust growth companies anymore. Meta had very little revenue growth. Microsoft's revenue was up 7%. Again, great companies, but the yesteryear of double-digit robust revenue growth is over. The law of large numbers is just harder to grow, and they're still all subject to, you know, the macro environment, which even Apple touched upon. Luckily, Apple still has some emerging markets like India that they can tap into, but the developed world, business is just is slowed, but just also in the nature of their product line. You know, who doesn't have a smartphone at this point that you know of, at least in the developed world? So, but these are big cap names, and investors don't want to don't give up hope in owning things that already worked over the past 10 years. They're basically dusting off the old playbook, but I don't think that is something that's going to be sustainable. And I think to your point about the Russell 2000 really dragging here, you know, you take the S&P 500, you take out eight stocks, that makes up all of the gain this year in the S&P. The other 493 stocks are basically down on average this year. So it's or at best flat. So definitely a two-way market, and that's not usually the sign of health.
Now, can we tie this into inflation outlook? If we are just seeing, let's say, trouble for a lot of stocks and shrinking revenues and shrinking profit margins, some companies do still have pricing power, but overall, does this end up filtering into the inflation data?
Well, we're certainly seeing moderation in inflation, which should continue as the year progresses, particularly on the services side as rental growth has slowed. That's not fully captured yet by the inflation stats. To me, it's not a question of whether inflation is going to slow from here. It's a question of after it slows, where does it settle out at? You know, when you get this inflation spike, yeah, you're going to come back down again, just on easy comparisons. But is it really a question of, oh, if, let's just say we hit 2% inflation come November, December, do we say, oh, wow, the Fed's hit its target? No. Again, that's just the backside of a sharp rise in inflation. It's what happens in 2024, 2025, of where does inflation settle out at? Is it we're just going to go back to this 1% to 2% pace that we got very accustomed to that allowed central bankers to go hog wild with policy? Or are we in a structurally higher rate of inflation, maybe 3% to 4%, which is down below where we are today, but higher than what we're used to? And I'm more in that camp because 3% to 4% inflation also means that interest rates stay higher for longer and the Fed's not just going to be able to go back to zero and, you know, ramp up QE again as easily as they did before.
But again, the market is pricing in about up to 4 rate cuts by that January meeting. And by pricing in, that to me means that markets might be getting a little ahead of themselves. I personally don't think that the Fed's going to get 4 rate cuts. But again, it's impossible to know for sure. Peter, how do you balance out looking at these markets, even looking at individual parts of the market, when we are being told that the market's already pricing in rate cuts by January, quite a few of them?
Well, that's the thing is that the market generally, it's like no one wants to miss the Fed is done rally. I've sensed it over the past month, people hiding in these big cap tech stocks. No one wants to miss that rally, thinking that the Fed being done somehow is the cure here. You know, maybe it is, but when you look at the two bear markets pre-COVID, markets didn't really bottom until the end of almost the end of the rate cuts, and you know, taking what the bond market's pricing with the Fed funds rate, if you go out further, you go out until next summer, July 2024, market's pricing in 200 basis points of rate cuts. So there's that, but I think that is coincident with growth that is going to really slow from here. You know, that's going to get earnings, and I just don't think that the bear market is over.
All right, guys, we're out of time for the radio, but everybody listening on the radio, come visit our website because we continue this conversation with Peter Buchbar for a good another 10, 15 minutes talking about everything from debt ceiling to his strategies for the market. We will be right back with Dana Lyons.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
News update. Looking humble and sincere, King Charles III has taken his coronation oath in Westminster Abbey in front of God and country. Charles took the oath to uphold the law and the Church of England during his reign. He also took a second oath.
I, Charles, do solemnly and sincerely, in the presence of God, profess, testify, and declare that I am a faithful Protestant.
The CDC calling an end to the COVID pandemic, and now the FDA issuing a recall for COVID tests that may contain bacteria. More than 13,000 people in the Canadian province of Alberta have been forced from their homes as wildfires burn out of control. A U.S. F-16 fighter jet has crashed during training this morning near a major U.S. military base in South Korea. The lone pilot was ejected safely. No civilians were hurt. Corey Myers, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And now, as promised, we are going to dive a bit more into individual sectors within the market as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion's Share Pro website, which I will link to in the description for the weekend show. Dana, we're going to start with the banking sector because, boy, oh boy, it's back in the news. We had a little bit of calm, I guess, but a lot of people still looking at the banking sector saying the worst is not yet behind us. And then this week we had news of a banking takeover. We also had news of another bank having issues and going under. Overall, the banking sector not looking very strong, but I guess my question to you is, do you think we're going to hit a low sometime soon here in the banking sector?
You know, it's possible that we hit a short-term low because, technically speaking, I'm looking at the regional banks, and they are down. Obviously, the S&P and the mega caps and the headline indices have held up okay, even as, you know, some of the regional banks, the financials, have been trading closer to 52-week lows or at 52-week lows. So that has given us, that was a red flag that, okay, maybe not everything's so healthy in the market. So from that perspective, it was a heads up that, okay, even though the S&P was challenging rally highs a couple of days ago or at the end of April, maybe things aren't as healthy in the broader market as that would suggest, as the new highs would suggest. Furthermore, maybe things in the financial sector, in the regional banking sector, were not as healthy as maybe the Fed and the regulators would want us to believe when they announced, okay, your deposits are safe, mini crisis is over. Prices were not telling us the same story. So we saw, you know, the regional banks and other financials trading closer to 52-week lows than they were to rally highs like the major indices were. So that was certainly a red flag that maybe that things in the overall market weren't so healthy, and certainly things in the financials and regional banks were not necessarily as rosy as the headlines might make you believe. But I guess the one possible short-term factor going for the bulls, we are hitting maybe that 78 retracement in the regional banks from the 2020 low. If we get a reversal here today, we might have a short-term low in place there. Plus, we're hitting some support on the S&P and the Dow here. But from a longer-term perspective, I would say we're far from out of the woods, especially considering kind of a lack of fear out in the market, despite some of the new lows in some of the troubled sectors like we talked about.
Yeah, Dan, it's really a bifurcated market because you look at the people's reaction, it's kind of complacent, but to the point you made about the overall health of the market, we see that illustrated when you just compare something like the NASDAQ or the S&P 500 to what's going on in the Russell 2000. You know, when you think about it, a lot of the mega cap companies had just went through earnings season, so people are excited about Microsoft, they're excited about Apple, you know, a lot of the big old FANG stocks are still doing pretty good. But if you take those out, which are holding up the indexes, and you look at the market breadth, it's telling a different story. And when you look at the micro caps in the Russell 2000, they're near multi-year lows. So I'd love you to maybe discuss the point you made to us, what I thought was a great line, Dana, that you use market breadth as a lie detector to confirm or deny what you're seeing in the indexes.
Yeah, for sure. So, and we've spoken in the past about our models and our quantitative models and how they're heavily geared towards breadth and internal type indicators. Again, 70 to 80% of the determinant of the direction of a stock is based on the direction of the overall market. So we wanted to identify which direction the overall market is headed and then align ourselves in that direction. So it's different. The broad market can be vastly different than what the cap-weighted popular averages are doing, and that's been the case, obviously, over the last month, especially where you have the mega caps, like you mentioned, the S&P 500, NASDAQ 100, testing rally highs or hitting rally highs, six-month highs, what have you. So looking good, especially if you're trading just those mega cap or popular averages. But on the flip side, you're seeing breadth statistics lagging. In fact, NASDAQ overall advanced decline line hitting 52-week lows of late, even as the NASDAQ 100 was hitting multi-month or six-month highs. So very bifurcated, as you mentioned. And the reason why we rely heavily on breadth type statistics in our models, because we want to, again, determine which direction the overall market is going and kind of use it as, like you mentioned, a lie detector based on or vis-a-vis what the major averages are doing. So recently, again, the S&P 500 holding up well. If you're trading just that index, things might not look so gloomy. But if you're measuring the breadth, you're looking at what the internals are doing, it's telling you that price, okay, they say price is truth. It's not always the case if it's not backed up by the breadth in the broader market, which has significantly lagged especially since that short-term low in March. So as you mentioned, the micro caps are at 52-week lows, the regional banks at 52-week lows, even with the major averages holding up well. So that has given us a big heads up that things aren't as good as those major averages would have you believe, and it kept us very defensive over the last couple months or so, even, you know, once again, despite the seemingly good performance in the major averages.
Dana, one thing we hear about fairly regularly in bigger media is this kind of fear-greed index, where clearly there aren't a whole lot of investors that were really fearful out there, as we just saw the VIX. It was down at about 16-month lows. So clearly investors not overly scared in these markets, but at the same time, they're not taking the long side. And you balance that out with now the market pricing in 4 Fed rate cuts by January of next year. How do you see how investors are positioned here, balancing out that fear, greed, and then also carrying that onto Fed policy, where the market thinks the Fed's going to be cutting fairly soon?
Right. Well, as far as the Fed reads go, we don't pay attention a whole lot to that, so that's just noise to us. We do like to, when we see kind of investors, the investment community kind of all shifted to one side of the boat, it gives us a good indication that maybe fading the crowd is a good idea in that case, and I think that might be the case here, especially given some of the more quantifiable sentiment readings out there. So given, and in particular in light of the fact that the internals and the breadth has been so poor, that's a major red flag, because it tells us, okay, if the short-term sentiment is complacent or even overly bullish, then that's telling us there's not a lot of hedging going on in terms of the investment community. So if we do start to see some more cracks, which is suggested by the bad breath and by the lagging of the broader market and the internals, if we do start seeing more cracks, people are not ready for that. Investors are not hedged against that. So if we start to see the mega caps and large caps start cracking, then for sure that type of a scenario, we could see the downside start to snowball as folks rush to get out the door or rush to put on hedges at that point, because again, like you mentioned, sentiment is far from fearful right now, and in fact is more skewed towards the bullish side of things in the short term. So that's another red flag for sure, and like I said, that's something that could get the downside snowballing here if we do see more technical cracks in the larger cap averages, which has not happened yet, but certainly is we see the potential for that if the readings from the broader market are more accurate than the large caps, which has historically always been the case.
Well, Dana, we are out of time for this segment, but we're having you back on next segment. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Dana Lyons.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Dana Lyons. Now, Dana, let's get into the gold market because, look, gold continues to perform very well. Gold is outperforming the markets. Please share your insights for where gold goes from here and if a breakout is going to happen.
Yeah, so you have to look at a different duration. So in the short term, we're still not chasing here. We have a decent position on in gold, silver, and the miners as well. We would not be necessarily adding here unless it's into weakness. I think in the near term, there is room to pull back towards better support areas, better entry points. So again, we've got decent positions on there on the long side. We think they do eventually break out and put in a new major up leg. But in the short term, we wouldn't necessarily be chasing it. But from a longer perspective, like I said, we do think eventually these things, gold, precious metals, the complex does break out, especially in gold. And we do think it definitely has the legs for another major up move. If you consider, okay, the bounce off of the 2016 low up into that 2020 high, okay, that was 3 years ago now. So we basically moved sideways over the last 3 years and more or less storing up energy, storing up fuel, consolidating those gains into 2020 and working off some of that excessive bullishness. We talked about sentiment before, working off some of that excessive bullishness that built up into that 4 year rally. So I think after maybe some more consolidation, some more backing and filling, then we do have a better chance to break out and have it be a sustainable breakout and make more of a durable run higher. So that's what we're betting on. That's how we're positioned, but we would not be adding into strength here. In fact, we'd be a little hesitant to chase it. We'd be waiting for better entry points a little bit lower to add to our positions.
Okay, so kind of a buy the dip mentality, but not chasing it higher. What about other commodities? We hear a lot about copper and how there's this big supply shortage coming, but the copper price just hasn't responded, or oil that made a run higher and now has completely reversed that whole run. Any other commodities that are on your radar?
Platinum we like. It's more in tune with the precious metals complex. Copper we kind of like. We've got a small position in it now. It's obviously, it's got kind of tentacles in both the industrial and the economic landscape as well as more of the metals complex. So I think it's okay that we do have a position in the copper miners as well, which look better to us. As far as crude oil, I think eventually we make another major low and also take a shot at another major up leg there. I don't know that we're ready yet, although we are down testing those recent lows again in crude oil. So if you've been patient waiting for a buying opportunity, now is not a terrible place to add a little bit, because we do think eventually commodities in general put in another major low and embark on another up leg in the big secular bull market. We're just not eager to get too aggressive in anything else, I guess, right now. Be a little bit more patient in that. So I guess precious metals complex is probably still the most intriguing to us from an intermediate term perspective.
When we think about the commodities, I usually think about how the dollar can be a headwind or tailwind to the sector. I'd love to just get your take, because you look at things in isolation. What's your take on the greenback?
Yeah, obviously still in a downtrend. Has not been able to. It's testing, again, as well. It's testing the the dollar index, testing those lows that we saw earlier this year. Has not been able to really mount any kind of a bounce off of there, which is concerning. So we certainly see downside in the short term for the dollar index. We've been earmarking kind of that 99 level for a while for maybe if we're going to take a stab at forming a major low in the dollar, we'd be looking around that 98-99 level. And then it would take, obviously, it would take to get more confidence and more than just a short-term trade. There would be some technical challenges, some technical achievements, so to speak, to the upside before we get more aggressive in expecting, a major move to the upside. So I guess benefit of the doubt is to the downside until proven otherwise. And probably that 98-99 level would be a spot where if we were short, which we're not right now, we would certainly look to cover some of those shorts.
Wouldn't that be a pretty significant breakdown? Just anything below that 100 level. I'm looking at a monthly chart here and going back to 2015, that 100 level looks pretty important to me. So anything below there to me seems like it could open up the floodgates to even lower levels.
Yeah, again, we've got some support at 98 to 99. So maybe if people are looking at that nice round 100 number and we break that, that's where sometimes the psychology of investing comes in. You see the big round number broken and you see a lot of stops hit. People rush for the exits. And once the selling clears out, maybe that paves the way for kind of a reversal, a bounce, whether it's short term or intermediate term in nature.
Well, Dana, I guess we should also talk about the cryptos, Bitcoin and Ethereum. Do you have any thoughts on the cryptoverse?
Yeah, we're long both of those, the aforementioned. As long as we hold Bitcoin around that 28,000 level, we see upside to maybe 36,000 potentially. We have no religious affiliation with the cryptos at all. But just from technically speaking, they've held up pretty well. And Ethereum, the same thing. If we can hold near the mid-1800s, we see upside to around the 2400-2500 level next. So, again, we'll follow the rules, try to maintain discipline. And if those the levels I mentioned are broken to the downside, we'll pull the plug and reassess, wait for another opportunity or better prices to get back involved. But if those areas hold, we got a shot at another decent uplay, because we did break out, have pulled back immediately to those breakout levels, and so far holding. But we'll let, in this case, we'll let prices dictate where we go.
So if we step back and really take into account your strategy for all these different markets and how we have gold running higher, cryptos running higher, you're seeing weak breadth for the underlying averages. How does that play into the second half of this year and all the gloom and doom that we're hearing about a major recession coming and all the issues, even including the banking sector, that could really start to boil over in the second half of this year?
Right. We try not to ask the question why, so I think that gets into the question, why are these markets doing what they're doing? But if we were to take a stab at it, I guess objectively, certainly it doesn't paint a very rosy macro picture. And that would line up with, what we're seeing from our objective quantified models that we're looking at, which have had us and continue to have us positioned very defensively. So until that changes, we have no reason to change our investment posture, our outlook for markets going forward. And again, from a longer-term perspective, a lot of the excesses in the market that built up now into the 2022 high, but even, you know, as we've discussed previously, into peaks into 2000 and 2007 that were not really allowed to work themselves out and correct themselves, that's all still embedded in the system. So from a long-term perspective, there are still a lot of excesses in the system that don't, not to be Mr. Gloom and Doom, but if things really started to snowball to the downside, there is a lot of excess, a lot of risk that is still embedded in the system that could still work its way out and could be really a disastrous scenario for, you know, the economy, but investors in general who are not, I don't think, expected or ready for that type of a scenario. So all that being said, we'll take it at an intermediate term basis based on our models. And if they have us positioned eventually like we are right now, so be it. If things turn better from a quantitative perspective, we've got no problem changing course and trying to make some gains on the upside when opportunities present themselves. So we'll try to stay objective and disciplined, and that's the hallmark. That's how you stay out of trouble, because if you go subjectively too much, you're relying on human nature, and that really never pans out for investors.
Yeah, that's well said there, Dana. I do appreciate how you really do stick to your models and don't try to ask the question why, just trade the markets. Dana, it's great having you on the show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. Please keep in touch with Shad and me through email, as well as please go back through our website and podcast, listen to all our daily editorials, and let us know what you think of any of the companies that we feature throughout the week. Dana, everybody else, I hope you all have a great rest of your week.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.